Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Leskin with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture, broadcasting from Seattle, Washington, here on a very cold winter day. And we have on the show with us today Dr. Lumen Wing. Dr. Wing recently did a podcast interview with us where he talked about the fact that he was in the class of the famous Darwin skeptic, Dean Kenyon, who was the famous scientist at San Francisco State University, who retracted his book promoting the natural chemical evolution and origin of life. And Dr. Kenyon was then actually almost ousted from his department. And Dr. Wing, you had a front row seat to see all that, didn't you?
I did. That's right, Casey.
Well, and Dr. Wing, you are a signer of our Descent from Darwinism list, and we talked in our first interview with you about your background as a scientist and where you got your PhD and what you studied. And you mentioned a little bit about systems biology at the very end, that your PhD related to that. Could you share with us a little bit about what is systems biology, and specifically, why has systems biology made you a Darwin skeptic and a proponent of intelligent design?
Well, I find that fascinating, Casey, because, you know, within the idea of what systems biology is, it's really a newer or an updated version of just physiology in terms of how these concepts of emergent properties have really produced what we call systems biology. Now, in biology textbooks today, you're seeing this term emergent properties, and really they're functions that kind of arise from interacting parts in a system. Like when we talk about an emergent property, it's really a function that's performed by a system that isn't the result of a single part in the system, but it's rather like a result of interacting parts in the system, and that's what an emergent property is. It's something like, and the term that's used, like how a light bulb functions, for example. Uh-huh. It can generate light, but it can't be attributed to any one of the single three parts that make up a light bulb. Rather, it's a result of a combination of the metal cup ceiling, of the glass bulb, and ultimately of the vacuum, if you will, that causes the light to radiate out. So you have all these systems, these pieces that allow the light to flow. Now, however simple that is, that's really meaning that each one of these properties, whether it be the wire coil, the metal ceiling, the vacuum inside of the glass, produces this light, that the light being, if you will, the result of all these interactions, and each one of these individual units are these what we call emergent properties. Now, you think about that, and it's very similar to how we see the mouse trap, if you will, of how we get irreducible complexity. And that's what really how systems are defined is irreducible, because they have emergent properties. They're said to be irreducible, and that's exactly what a systems biology description is. It's irreducibly complex because it's all dependent on emergent properties, and
hence
we have complex systems. Uh-huh. Now, well, actually, and then within the context of my studies, I studied the role of plasminogen activator inhibitor, which is the inhibitor that blocks the interaction of TPA with other proteins in the blood that facilitate blood clot dissolution. And this is really the essence of how you would lyse any blood clot, but that's been used from biotechnology companies. Genentech really was this sort of forerunner of pharmaceuticals to use for treating heart attacks. And by biotech methodologies, they've been able to scale up to make gram quantities, kilogram quantities of this protein that are currently being used for the treatment of heart attacks. And my early work was looking at the interactions of TPA at the cellular level and at the system level, looking at it, how it interacts within the liver and ultimately how it interacts within the entire body. So you get a system perspective from just a single molecule. And and that study, just to get it encapsulate what I'm saying, is that if you look at just TPA by itself, it means absolutely nothing. It has to have with it all of the other cofactors and enzymes that it fits into a mosaic that ultimately have a clot that ultimately is dissolved and that you're ultimately going to have the flow of blood again. So all of these enzymes function for a single purpose, which is just like the light bulb, and it's exactly why systems biology is really the scientific or the corollary to intelligent design.
So, I mean, it seems to me like a systems biology perspective would flow very naturally out of an intelligent design paradigm of biology, as opposed to a Darwinian perspective, which is that, you know, you build systems up very slowly, one little step at a time, and, I mean, emergent properties really, if they exist, they occur really just by luck, because they're not selected for at earlier stages, whereas intelligent design, an intelligent agent can, you know, think with forethought and will and foresight to put together a system, knowing that, you know, the emergent properties will appear. But, you know, how can you imagine a Darwinian process putting together a systems biology, you know, approach to biology where you have these emergent properties that appear with it that have really no ability to select? There's no ability to select for them at the early stages. Does this make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And it comes right down to the fact that, I mean, really, when you bring it down to the most complex of all known systems is when you come into genetics. And when you're understanding how DNA functions, just for example, the human genome, we have, 3 billion base pairs, and there's 25,000 genes. Now, we would think of the myriad proteins produced by these genes. You would assume that there's going to be emergent properties involved with every single function of every one of those genes. Well, if you think about how many genes interact with other genes to produce a single protein, it's a mind-boggling statistics that would show us that to get one protein would be absolutely an unfathomable amount of chances. That's why the concept is to place systems biology over intelligent design would say that these fortuitous, chaotic combinations of molecular interactions produce functioning emergent properties. That's how we result in a human being. It's virtually impossible. I mean, that's what would make a Dean Kenyon want to just be very content by making that statement. And I actually, in retrospect, when I think back on it, the contentment in his face, that resolute place, was certainly something that was very attractive to recognizing that there is something far beyond the chaotic, fortuitous events.
This is very, very revealing, Dr. Wing, because you have seen a scientist, a great scientist, who literally went through a complete intellectual conversion on the issue of, you know, how did life arise? How did life evolve? And you have understood why he had that perspective, rather than taking the view that he should be persecuted for taking that perspective.
That's right. Exactly. All he had to do was retract this to make a very powerful statement, simply because, yes, the textbook was very beautifully written, but to retract a textbook is a very loud statement. And it certainly made me, as a upcoming scientist, want to investigate it further.
Well, and I would just remind our listeners, if you're not sure exactly what we're talking about right now, in the first podcast with Dr. Wing, we talked about the fact that he was a student under Dean Kenyon at San Francisco State University when Dean Kenyon actually revoked and retracted a book called Biochemical Predestination that he had written supporting the natural chemical origin of life. And Dr. Wing was a student in his class when that happened, and Dr. Wing is recounting how this happened. I would refer our listeners to go back to the first podcast with Dr. Wing to get that full story. But I'm afraid that for now we're running out of time for this podcast. But Dr. Wing, will you stay on with us for one more interview, and we can talk a little bit more about some of the scientific predictions of intelligent design versus Darwinism. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast signing off.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.